Lord's baptism. And in light of that, I want us to talk about being immersed in grace. I want us to look at baptism this morning, why we do it, what it is, all of those good things that come along with that. So what I'd like to do beginning is, you know, a journalist has a set of questions that they ask. Maybe we're taught those in school, you know, those questions: who, what, where, when, why, and how. So before we get into our scripture today, I want to answer a few of those questions about baptism so we'll understand when we look in scripture what it's saying. Who do we as Southern Baptists baptize? There's a lot of people out there that can be baptized, but who do we baptize? We baptize born-again believers. We do not believe in infant baptism for the reason of baptism is a symbol of something that's happened on the inside by a choice. And an infant is not able to make that choice. There comes a point in time in a man's life that they realize that they are a sinner and that they need forgiveness of their sins. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. Amen. And they receive Christ, and they become what we call a born-again believer or a Christian, and that is who we baptize. When do we baptize? As soon as possible after salvation. It is the display of one receiving Christ. It's known as the public declaration or the public display of what's happened on the inside. And what we do understand is baptism does not forgive us of our sins. There is nothing that we can do. Being baptized is something that we can do. We do it out of that obedience, but it does not forgive us of our sins, because as we're going to see in a moment, Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And I will testify, and I believe all of you will, Jesus was without sin. So he did not need forgiveness of sin. We'll look at that in the message. Why do we baptize? Because we're commanded. Jesus, in his final words, commanded to go out and to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a public display of that inward change. How do we baptize? This is up for a lot of debate to people, but we believe that baptism is by immersion in water, by being plunged, dipped, or washed. Why do we believe that? I get asked that sometimes. In your Bible, you will see the word baptize. It is a transliteration of the word baptizo. It's not actually translated, but that word baptizo means to be immersed in the water, to be plunged, to be dipped, totally submerged under water. Not sprinkling or pouring. Sprinkling and pouring came about originally by those who were physically unable to get into water and totally be submerged. There are some churches who sprinkle. That did not actually happen. Get this. I found this interesting in studying. Baptism by total immersion was the way that the early church fathers did it, the way the church did it. It was not until the 13th century that sprinkling came into practice. So what is it that we're looking at today? We understand who, why, where, we got that. But baptism is a powerful declaration of faith that calls us to live out our new life in Christ and reflect his grace toward the world around us. This morning, would you take your Bibles and open to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, in chapter 3, and make your way over to verse 13. And we're going to be looking at Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism and see what is it that we need to see about it. What does it teach us? How can it apply to our life? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Once you're there, would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Matthew writing, and he says, "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him as a dove and lighting on him, and behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father God, I thank you today for your word. Father, I pray today that you would open our minds to understand it. Father, you would help us to see the truth of it. Father, that we would be able to take that truth and move it from our heads into our hearts, and that we would be able to respond. And Father, I know all too well that that's not possible without the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, I pray that Holy Spirit would be with each of us today in a special way, working within our lives. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We see oftentimes in, we see even here in Scripture, that baptism is not an easy thing. It's a little easier for us today because we have these beautiful baptistries in most of our churches. But it's not always easy for the person being baptized to come and to stand up there in front of everyone. But the help of the Holy Spirit makes it possible to make that public declaration because of what Christ has done in us. You know, even for Jesus, his baptism wasn't that easy. Notice there at verse 13, it said, Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. Jesus was up in Galilee. It was quite a ways to walk to the Jordan where John was baptizing. John had been out in the wilderness. He was proclaiming the message that there's one coming after me. And he said, He will come. And he was now coming. This was a time that Jesus was opening up his ministry, as we're going to see. But he made this trip by foot or by animal, most likely by foot. They traveled everywhere they walked, and he came to the Jordan. Why was John baptizing in the Jordan? You know, words and towns and places all have a significant meaning, and John was baptizing in the Jordan because there was a lot of people coming to be baptized. And if you're going to take a lot of people and baptize them, and you're going to totally immerse them into the water as if they were being buried, surrounded by the water, you need what? A lot of water. Adrian Rogers talked about this and said that that's one of the evidences for our believing, not just from the word, but that said that, you know, if you had a little jar, you could do a lot of sprinkling with a jar. Now, I'm not knocking that for a person who physically cannot, but I believe scriptural baptism, by the word of what it means, is to be fully immersed. That's why we're looking today at being immersed in grace. We are washed in the blood. I know that sounds kind of strange, and I don't know that I want to get in a bathtub full of blood, and we're not talking about that. But we're talking about the symbolic act that Jesus Christ did, physically shed his blood to pay the price, to pay the penalty, to pay what we were owed for salvation, that we could never become righteous before God. We could never become perfect. We could never become holy before God. We were separated from him. But Jesus did that, and his flow has now, for those who receive it, come and affect them. So we know that Jesus had to travel from Galilee to the Jordan to where John was baptizing. What is baptism? What is the big deal about it? If you have your outline there, the first thing I want us to look at is baptism is a transformative moment in your journey of faith, or in your faith journey. There is something that happens that is transformational about a baptism. Yes, I understand that when we get up in that baptistry, that that's just water that come out of the tap like you have at your house, as you have in your bathtub, as you have running through your sink. But there is something that happens in the journey of faith. And that is the first step of obedience to God is to receive his Son, Jesus Christ. the very second step that he commands us to do is to be baptized. We say with the baptism, I said a while ago, that it's a public display of something that's happened on the inside. Well, what's happened on the inside of a believer is they have surrendered their life to Christ. They've came to him knowing that he is the only forgiveness of sin, that he is the only way to heaven, and that they confess their sins to him. They receive Jesus to be, as we call and as we read in Scripture, Lord and Savior. So that first display of obedience, that's why I say as soon as possible after someone receives Christ, they need to be baptized. You're following in obedience to the Father. It's also transformative because it is your public declaration of your faith in Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 33 says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was speaking, and he was saying that he didn't necessarily recognize Jesus, but he was told that the one who the Spirit descends upon and remains is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And what do we see back over in our text in Matthew, that what happened when Jesus was baptized? He come up out of the water, the heavens open. Can you imagine that? Just picture there, you're standing out on the bank of the Sabine River down here, okay? And all of a sudden, the heavens just open up. And out of the heaven comes something that looks like a dove, and it descends. That's where they were. They were at the Jordan. Okay, we're going to put ourselves where they were. Jesus has just come out of the water. Now those heavens open up. And not only does the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit, come and descend and light upon Jesus, they hear a voice. They hear the Word of God speaking. And what does he say over there at the end of Matthew chapter 3? It says, and a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, it's transformative in the baptism because we're being declared to be with Christ. We're being declaring that Christ has come in and changed us. It's also the initial act in your ministry. What we see in Matthew chapter 4, the very next chapter, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Important here, listen, why is baptism so important? Jesus began his ministry with baptism. Jesus concluded his ministry and his life here on earth with the command to be baptized. Bookmarks on the beginning and the end. And for a believer, it is the public declaration. It is the initial act. We are starting our ministry with Jesus Christ. We're beginning to walk in a life that represents him, a life that's being led by him. See, it's a lot more than just walking in those waters and, as you've heard me say before, have a public bath and get up and walk out. There is something special about what we're celebrating today. And it makes the difference in the life of a believer. It makes a difference in the life of the church as we see how God works. See, baptism is a transformative moment in your faith journey. Also, baptism is an encouragement to walk in your new life. What do I mean by walk in your new life? See, there comes that point in time in our life that we realize that we're sinners. And do you know, as a lost person, as a sinner, you are under the dominion of Satan. You have no choice but to sin because it's who we follow. But God provided a better way. God provided that payment that restores a relationship to him. The moment we receive him, our spirit inside of us comes alive. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells on us and in us permanently. Amen. Just as at the moment that we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to us. The moment Jesus was obedient, come out of the water from baptism, the Spirit landed on him, praise the Lord, because Jesus left there to go out into the wilderness, out into the dry land, out into the parched earth, and to be tempted for 40 days. That sounds something like us, you know, the moment we become believers, the moment we come alive, we're tempted. And Jesus, being all man and being all God, Holy Spirit come on and gave him power as he went out and he was being tempted. The Holy Spirit comes on us to help us, but we are encouraged to walk in this new life because as a believer, we've been freed from the bonds and the chains of sin. Amen? Anybody else glad other than me and Brother Robert to be freed? You're no longer under the dominion of Satan. We now serve a new king. What a symbol, what a declaration. And as we come out of that water, that display that we're living a new life, we've been awakened, we've been revived, the Spirit has come alive, we're following after him. We're no longer bound to sin. Now, I'm not going to say we're not going to sin because every one of us this side of heaven will still sin because we still live in this fleshly nature. But as a born-again believer, it becomes a battle because we don't want to sin. It comes upon us, and sin is fun, and sin is enticing, but we don't have to do that. But there's still times that we will fall into that sin, but we're not have dominion. Satan doesn't have that dominion over us. Also, you've become identified with Christ. Amen. How many of you want to be identified with Christ? Amen. Raise your hand. It's okay. We're Baptists. You can raise your hand, shake it a little bit if you want to. This is a symbol of what has happened in us. Church, we are identified as belonging to Christ. He is our Lord. God is our God and our King. We are heirs with Jesus Christ. Come on now. He is our Lord. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that's declared us righteous. We're the Son of God. We're identified with Christ. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, it tells us this, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. I want you to begin to picture this. This is what happens in the baptistry. I know some of you know this. It's a reminder. Some of you may not. We're going to look at it here, but it tells us that we have been baptized into his death. That's why when we go in the baptistry, we immerse, we lay someone completely down as if they are dying to self. They're being buried with Christ. And then verse 4 says, therefore we have now been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life. If we are obedient, we receive Christ. That symbol is that we've died to old self. But guess what? Christ did not stay in the grave. Amen? He is a living Lord and Savior. He is still active today. Well, if we are identified with Christ in his death, we're also identified with him in his resurrection. He came out of that grave alive, and he came out of that grave, and he had defeated death. And we are identified in all of this with Christ through this baptism, this display of what's happened. It encourages us to walk in that new life because I know that in Christ I died, and in Christ I came out alive. I came out a new person. God changed my heart. God changed my mind. God changed my will. I love to hear the stories of people who were strung out on drugs and they received Christ and it instantly changed their life. It doesn't happen instant to everyone. But I hear stories and stories of people who were on a road straight to hell and the instant they received Christ, their life was transformed and there was a radical difference. Not in all of our life. Some of us were born again or received Christ as a child, and we've been raised up in that, and we walk in that, and we grow in that. And you know, Jesus went out and he was tempted, and he had his ministry where he was teaching other people. We're identified with him. I believe as believers, we need to be being discipled as well, because we have become identified with him. And third, baptism helps you to embrace your identity in Christ. We have an identity in Christ. We've said we've been identified with him. It helps us to embrace that. It puts in our mind, as the one being baptized, the physical act of dying to the old self, coming out, coming up out of the grave, and then walking out to live a new life. The gospel being pictured out there. What is this? What is this that we are to embrace through salvation, through baptism? You're to walk in your righteousness. Let me tell you, church, and I hope I don't bust anyone's bubble here, but none of you are righteous in of yourself. There is not a thing you can do to make yourself righteous before a holy God. But guess what? I love the buts in the Bible, but God loved you enough that he provided a way and that he can declare you as righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22, our righteousness is found in Jesus. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made him, speaking of Jesus, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God is the ultimate ruler. God is the creator. God is the judge. He is perfect. He is holy. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. There are many words that we can put on him. And he looked at us who were unrighteous and filthy, dirty, torn, stinky rags of sin that wrapped us. And he said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to provide a way. You come to me, and in my son, what he did on the cross, I'm going to make you pure. I'm going to make you white as snow. I'm going to give you a new clothes, a fragrant aroma to him. In a moment, when Monty and I enter into that baptistry, we're going to be wearing white robes, symbolizing the purity and the holiness and the cleanliness that we are in God's eyes because of the righteousness in his son, Jesus Christ. And we're to walk in that righteousness. We're to determine each and every day to follow after him the best that we can. Listen to these verses from Romans chapter 3. Verse 21 and following. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins. Now listen to this. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith. Verse 24, being justified as a gift. It's a free gift that God gives. It cost him the life of his son, but he offers it to us free. We don't have to cleanse ourselves. We don't have to make ourselves ready. We just have to receive him. There's a translation of the Bible called the Christian Jewish Bible. And this is what some Jewish would read, maybe how they would understand it. Listen to this translation. But God's grace, without earning it, all are granted the status of being considered righteous before him through the act redeeming us from our enslavement to sin that was accomplished by Messiah Yeshua. What Jesus did cost him his life, but he gives it to us. And you know what the judge says? He declares you righteous. He declares you perfect. Get this. What's this righteous in our eyes? Let me bring it home a little bit. These are some big words sometimes. You know, I undo death because of my sin. I undo separation from God. I am guilty. If we were to use a legal court term, I am guilty before a holy God. But do you know what God says? He looks at me through the blood of Jesus and he says, innocent. It's the only way we can enter his presence. What we have done has been paid for. And we need to have that in our life. We need to embrace that as we walk. What else do we need to embrace? But we need to embrace our walk and our sonship. Church, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of the living, holy God. Jesus is a son. You're a son and a daughter. The Bible says there's no distinction between the Jew, the Greek, the Gentile, the barbarian, the black, the white, the Republican, the Democrat. None of that matters. In Jesus Christ, we're all God's children. And he is our Father. Matthew 3, verse 17, again, gives us that clear picture when it says, "And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But we're also to embrace our walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How is it that we're able to live this new life? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When does the Holy Spirit come upon a believer today? The exact moment that they surrender their life to Christ in obedience. Jesus come up out of the water, and immediately the dove descended and lighted on him. We get the power. The Holy Spirit comes in, awakens our spirit, and revives us, and he gives us power from day to day. So what is this baptism? It's a picture that we're going to see in just a few moments up here of the gospel message in its entirety. What is the gospel message? The gospel message is about Jesus' virgin birth, perfect life, obedience to die on a cross, go into a tomb 3 days later, come out victorious over death, and then days later ascended to heaven. That's what we're going to see. We're going to walk into that water, and we're going to symbolize that burial of the old self, raised up to a new self, and to walk out serving and worshiping the God. Baptism is one of the most beautiful experiences for a believer. It's one of two things that we do to remember Christ. We have baptism and we do Lord's Supper. Both are beautiful, but for a believer, one of the most beautiful and grandest things to happen is to walk into those waters and stand before family and friends and the rest of the world and say, "I got saved. I want you to know what's happened to me. I have become identified with Christ. I'm being buried in that water. My old self coming out to walk in a newness of life." I might have shared this story just recently. I don't remember. So if you've heard it, just bear with me. There was a witch doctor in a village, and some missionaries came. And they began sharing the gospel, and this witch doctor received Christ. And they said, "We're going to come back tonight and we're going to have a baptism," symbolizing what has happened. Your old self is dead. Your new self is alive. So everybody went home, did whatever that day. They came back that night. The witch doctor wasn't there. In just a few moments, here he come, and he had these bags. And they're like, man, what are you doing? We're fixing to baptize you. He said, oh, yes, you are. He said, this is what I need to be a witch doctor. This is the things of my old life. And he said, I'm carrying them into that water with me. And when you submerge me in that water, I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to leave it there. And when I get up, I'm walking out and I'm leaving it behind forever. He had a true picture of what baptism was. He was done with the old life. Because he had a God who loved him, a Savior who loved him, a Lord who was going to lead them in the best of his life. Church, that's why we baptize. That's why we celebrate, because of what it is. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father God, how grateful, Lord, for your love. Father, grateful for the celebration, the picture that we're going to get to experience in just a few moments. Father, the excitement of what has happened in a life. Father, the most beautiful picture besides the death of your son, Father, that we get to participate in, being united with your son through believer's baptism. Lord God, it only happens to those who freely choose you to be their Lord and their Savior. It's the only way they can display a change that's happened on the inside. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.